Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Holy Scripture teaches us that faith resides in the Christian, but that it does not just stay in there, but comes out through confession. That is, speaking before others of what or who you trust and what you believe. The Epistle to the Romans teaches that with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. That faith is known in the confession of the truth. Jesus also teaches that this can happen and be true of unbelief. That unbelief inside comes out in what is said and done. He taught that what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and that this defiles a person. That from within comes all sorts of vile sin, from the corruption within and the unbelief within. That the sinful confession often is evident in denial of the truth. Now we hear it at every confirmation, every time we receive new members that have already been confirmed somewhere else, the saying of Jesus, "Whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. And whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." That this confession and this denial are at the heart of believing or not believing in Jesus. John the Baptist, again, not related to what is called Baptist today, John was a man of confession. In our gospel lesson today, he is approached by these authorities sent by the Jews, which indeed had some churchly as well as some civil authority with them. They have heard what he is doing out there in the wilderness, preaching, declaring things that had not been heard, garbed in clothing like Elijah, eating locusts and wild honey, and baptizing. So the question comes to them, and they are wondering, why are you doing these things, and by what authority do you do them? And honestly, they are doing their job. The Sanhedrin in Jerusalem was indeed created to examine teachers and to make sure that false teachers didn't have authority to teach. So they ask a series of questions of John. And it says that John answered them by confessing, not denying, but confessing. That in that strange phrasing, there is this stylistic way to emphasize what John was saying, but also what John was not saying. That here John is being precise. He was not the Christ. He was not Elijah. At least, especially in the way that the inquisitors had thought him to be. He was not the prophet, the one spoken of in the Old Testament lesson today, especially as those authorities believed that prophet would be a ruler who would bring about an earthly kingdom, who would kick out the Romans and lead Israel to a new throne, a new kingdom. Instead, John answered that he was the voice crying out in the wilderness, "Make straight the way of the Lord." That he was the forerunner to the Christ, who then in his confession, as John confessed, this Christ was among them already. But the inquisitors, just looking to do their job, missed it. They missed the confession of both who John was as the forerunner, but also that Jesus, the Christ, was already among them. They missed this in their denial that grew out of their own unbelief. But they missed this because they were more fearful of the ones who sent them than the God who is now among them in the flesh. That they were more fearful of being judged out of order with the false beliefs of their day, the popular beliefs of their day, than they were to repent of that false teaching and believe and come to believe in Christ rightly. That they don't want to hear the preaching of repentance that John was doing by presenting to them their false teaching. And there's fears of all those things, of everything but God, are synonymous with their denial of God. Now, Christians, how is it in your examination of yourself that you have denied the Lord? That there are many ways evident from the text today that happen, and John is exactly a proper example of confession. But even in the way he confesses, he teaches us some ways in which we might deny our Lord. First of all, when he answers the question, if he'd answered that he was the Christ, which would have been very well received by everyone there, he would have gained a ton of popularity by it, but he would have been denying Christ. That may seem outrageous, but such crass denials of Christ are quite commonplace, as even Jesus says about the end, that many will come in my name saying, I am he, I am he. That many false Christs will rise and come. Another kind of denial happens when the true identity, the full identity of Jesus, the Christ, is denied. So on the one side, you have those who confess Christ to only be a man, denying his true divinity. This is most obvious in false religions like Islam, Judaism, Mormonism, and Jehovah's Witnesses. Then there are also those who deny his humanity, certainly a smaller group today, but they are still out there. That to deny either, any aspect of who Jesus is to deny Jesus. Related then to this is the denial of the work that Jesus has done. The denial of salvation by grace through faith. That the acceptance of the error of works and how you are saved is to deny Jesus. And if you think you should contribute something to your salvation, then you have a false Christ. You deny him with every claim of merit or worthiness in you. Now, we can also deny Jesus when we pretend that we have the right faith, and yet while we carry on with an openly sinful life. For again, what we believe will come out in what we do. And Christ then is denied by ungodly living. Still, there is more from the text that the fear of these others led these inquisitors to miss this great wondrous confession of John about the truth and that Christ was among them. When we fail to confess Christ before others out of fear of them or other people, we are too denying Christ. When we regard another creature with more honor, more deserving of our reverence than we do to God, we are sinning. This goes for our fears of loss because of what we might say and how they might respond to what we say. It goes for our fears of persecution, our fears of being labeled or denigrated amongst the world, that we as Christians would suffer because of our reputation as Christians. But each of those fears is more of a denial. And this goes for our strange desire to be wanted and to be loved by the world. To carry on in some sort of spiritual adultery with the world and its ways, betraying the Lord who bought us. In John chapter 12, Jesus speaks of this. He says, "There are those who love the glory that comes from man, more than the glory that comes from God. But these are denials. Now, this also happens in very churchly settings, especially when Christians put aside God's word. We put aside differences in belief. That is to say, one person might say that Jesus says one thing, and another person says, no, he doesn't. But then, even though there is a clear disagreement, to make it appear like we all agree and we are all at peace with each other, and we all have some lowest common denominator form of Christianity, for whatever reason, this is a denial of the whole truth. This is a denial of the distinctions that are there, even in the smaller teachings of Scripture. And this then becomes a denial of Christ. That John shows us an example here. He refused to appear in agreement about this idea of Elijah's return with those visitors. Even though our Lord Jesus Christ himself, that John did indeed come in the spirit and the power of Elijah, that this was not the doctrine of those inquisitors. The inquisitors were looking for their doctrine of the Elijah, that some Elijah would come in person, and of course that he would have some earthly kingdom. That the Sanhedrin and those Jews expected a false Elijah because they were obsessed with having earthly rule and power at all costs. And having recast Elijah and even the Christ as earthly rulers, John could not agree with them. Now, all of these denials are violations of not only the first commandment, but also the second. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, to put Jesus' name on something false. But they are hypocritical then for anyone who prays, "Hallowed be thy name." Or they are a betrayal of God by anyone who has baptized, adopted by God in those holy waters in the name of the triune God. In a very plain way, what would you think of a friend who denies you when they're in front of others? Do you see the sin here? Do you see your sins here? Just what do we think? What do we think we have to lose by confessing Jesus? What do we think we gain by denying Jesus? What can the devil actually do to us that our God cannot protect us from? That our God can't undo altogether, or that our God might turn and use for our good? What can the world do in the same way that God wouldn't himself already provide and take care of us through? Today you hear of John. Be like John. He confessed. He did not deny, but confessed. He was not a reed shaking in the wind, driven and to and fro by popularity and pressure from the world. He did not stumble when approached by this Inquisition in all of its authority. He's a great example to us. But of course, not only of his confession, but in the substance of his confession as well, his focus, his narrowed focus on Jesus. That John prepared the way for Jesus. He confessed that Jesus was already among the world. John is the perfect example of Advent for us as Christians. We are to heed his words, prepare for our Lord's coming, now as he comes to us by word and sacrament, and of course preparing our hearts for his last return. That even as we gather in 3 days to celebrate the past coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in Bethlehem, we are doing so in the present. by gathering around the way he comes to us now in the Word and Sacrament. And we prepare the same way that John proclaimed preparation, by repentance and faith. We are to seek out Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. That we are indeed to pray that the weight of our sins will be lifted by his great grace and his great mercy. Because Christ is proclaimed by John, he is confessed by John, and by the Word of God to be the Savior of sinners. That Christ, who made the good confession also before Pilate, who never denied who he was or the Father who sent him, that the Christ came to suffer and die for deniers, for hypocrites, for people all too often way too fearful of the world. And proof of this is in figures like Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night, but yet later is a follower of Jesus. Remember Peter's denial? Remember the other disciples who fled? But remember that when Christ our Lord appeared to them on that Easter evening, he speaks peace and forgiveness for them. Remember your denials, the many and various ways in which you have sinned against God in your speech, life, and conduct amongst others. The same Jesus who came to them comes to you. And he speaks the same words of peace and forgiveness. This is Advent, the full proclamation of your sins, and yet the full proclamation of Christ, who is a Savior from sins, who is among you as your Savior, as Isaiah prophesied, and as we sing, "Comfort, comfort, ye my people, speak ye peace, thus saith our God." So we confess. We confess our sins against the second and the first commandments. And Christ our Lord forgives our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And in that forgiveness that God gives to us, we then, as the baptized children of God, faithfully pray the second petition, that God's name would indeed be hallowed amongst us, that our confession would not be hindered by what others would know of God, and that others would know God, specifically Jesus, that there is this one true God who teaches the truth, who brings light and life, who forgives sins and grants his Spirit for newness of life. This week, our Lord Jesus Christ comes to us again in all these extra services. Receive them. Confess Christ and what he has done for you in your words and your actions. That is to say, in what you believe and how you act towards others. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.